Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast. It's the 11th of March, 2024. I'm Andy Eubank. Coming up today, Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller with the news, including news from Washington on greenhouse gas emissions reporting and a helpful new digital farming tool for agronomists. The HAT podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com for more. And stop by your local branch to talk about your ag operation. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says cold to start, but dry and moderating temperatures today and tomorrow. And Friday corn and bean markets, a short covering rally after the report. Brian Basting analysis coming up on the Monday Hoosier Ag Today podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, we know that when agriculture thrives, we all do. It's the heart and grit of our agricultural communities that keep the crops coming in and the livestock cared for day and night. That's why we build financial solutions around the needs and schedules of our ag clients. If you're looking for a financial partner that has over 135 years experience in understanding and supporting agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's harvest success together. First Farmers Bank and Trust, member FDIC, equal opportunity lender.
Do you have an interest in taking your hay or livestock operation to the next level but need some help doing it? Then head out to the Hay and Livestock Expo hosted by Reynolds Farm Equipment, March 15th from 8 to 3 at the Boone County Fairgrounds. Join them for free lunch and hear from speakers, visit over 15 vendor booths, win door prizes, and more. Pre-register for a chance to win a roll of net wrap and hay knife. To register or for more information, visit events.reynoldsfarmequipment.com/hay-livestock-expo-24. Well, it wasn't a new farm bill, but there was some good news coming out of D.C. last week, and a new digital farming tool. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Some good news for farmers coming out of D.C. last week. Ag groups are hailing the Securities and Exchange Commission's final rule on reporting greenhouse gas emissions. National Cattlemen's Beef Association Chief Counsel Mary Thomas Hart says the 2022 SEC proposed rule wasn't a good idea to begin with.
Farmers and ranchers across the country would have had to submit their greenhouse gas emissions, eventually providing those reports to the federal government.
And that's simply because a producer sold to a publicly traded firm.
Fortunately, those companies will no longer be required to submit that information.
The reporting proposal first raised alarms at the American Farm Bureau. Their general counsel, Travis Cushman, says the process would have been an onerous one for farmers across the country if the Scope 3 provisions had been included.
Scope 3 would have required public companies to report on the greenhouse gas emissions of their supply chain, meaning that farmers would potentially have to be tracking all their emissions constantly. And anytime you sell a bushel of corn, you'd have to say these are how much of seven different types of greenhouse gases were emitted for every bushel I am selling.
For most of the country, this issue is now put to bed. The only exception is, of course, California.
California recently passed a rule that would also require disclosure of Scope 3 for anyone doing business in California. We also have sued California over this as well.
In defense of the cattle industry, Hart says the EPA already does a greenhouse gas inventory that shows beef cattle contribute just 2% of greenhouse gas emissions.
It's like fertilizer for your brain. Every weekday morning, the Hoosier Ag Today email newsletter arrives in your inbox with the latest farm news, markets, and weather information, the kind of stuff you're going to need that day. So make sure you're feeding your brain with this free, easy-to-read, and important input. Sign up for the Hoosier Ag Today email newsletter at HoosierAgToday.com and the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app.
Farming has become a high-tech business with new digital platforms available to help farmers and agronomists. CJ Miller reports on one digital farming tool that's on the market now.
We're just really excited about putting together a platform that's helping the agronomist bring the best decisions that they can to the grower.
And that's Justin Galliard, Director of Digital Farming with BASF Agricultural Solutions. He's talking about Zarvio Field Manager that's specially designed for agronomy consultants.
The idea here is really to create a platform and a tool that helps them bring the most powerful insights to their growers. Disease is disease, pests are pests. This is a tool that helps to really give an alert of when those diseases are coming into play and then the agronomist can decide what they want to do about that.
He says Zarvio Field Manager shows and compares data for fields across several different seasons.
Right now, we're using satellite imagery to really capture what's happening on the ground level and to really give feedback and use power zones. The power zones are looking at 7 years of history on biomass maps, and the biomass map is where the most productive areas of the field are. So we're able to combine that and give you an immediate look at the history of the field in one day.
Galliard says that BASF is working with an Indiana-based company to continue to grow their platform.
Partnering with outside companies such as Intellinair, where we're looking at bringing in drone imagery and able to upload that imagery and bring weed zone maps into the future. That's not available yet, but we're working on that partnership, and that's something to come in the future.
For more information about Zarvio Field Manager by BASF, visit Zarvio.com. I'm CJ Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Farm Credit Mid-America believes that your crop insurance should be maximized to address what's important to you. With their data-optimized decision tool, you can build a policy custom-fit to your operation's goals. Using your past production data, their tool, which they have exclusive access to in their territory, maps out future events, helping you choose the perfect policy type, coverage level, and options for you, all guided by their crop insurance agents. To learn more, visit fcma.com/crop-insurance. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity provider.
The High Ground Podcast. Everything from energy and fuel.
It's Memorial Day weekend, going to be 87 to 89, maybe low 90s all weekend. So we thought we'd bring Scott Heine in. So we'll talk about home heat.
To agriculture.
Anytime we can help a farmer grow their business and meet their goals, that's a proud moment for me.
And, well, other things.
For some reason, like and subscribe. We don't know why, but that's important.
We want you to do it on your own, but we're going to tell you.
Listen now on all platforms.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. The week off to a pretty decent start here. Chilly start, to be sure. It was cold yesterday statewide. Strong north winds didn't do us any favors, but I can tell you right now, those winds have already shifted around to the south, and that's going to be some warming winds here today. I think temperatures moderate very, very quickly through your Monday. We are dry all the way through Tuesday. Warmer still tomorrow with temperatures in the 50s easily and very strong warm air advection, no moisture. Overnight tomorrow night into Wednesday, I think we have to look for some clouds and maybe a few hit and miss scattered showers. Right now, if you're going to twist my arm and say, where's the best chance? I'm going to say central and southern Indiana. This could go any direction right now, but definitely a more southerly twist to the moisture than what we were seeing last week. And then for Thursday, we are dry pretty much everywhere to start before clouds and moisture move in by midday. The moisture continues through Thursday night. I think we see a second wave on Friday. All in, all done. Likely a quarter to 1 inch of moisture coverage, 100% of Indiana. Behind it, we're chilly for Friday afternoon, Friday night, and Saturday. But I do think that we are dry for those days. We see sunshine on Sunday as well. Next week, starting off chilly, Monday, Tuesday, Canadian high pressure pushing southward into the Great Plains and upper Midwest. That's likely going to keep us chilly for at least the first half of the week. It's going to take a little bit to get south winds to come back. At this stage, I'm going to say better likelihood of that second half of the week, maybe Friday into Saturday. So, yeah, next week, a little bit cooler overall than what we've been getting used to here over the past few days. That's a look at your forecast update. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
In farming, experience counts. Every growing season teaches us something. Experience counts in farm broadcasting as well, and no other farm broadcasting team in the state has the experience of Hoosier Ag Today. Eric Pfeiffer, CJ Miller, Andy Eubank, and Sabrina Halverson, an experienced team that gives you credible coverage of today's agriculture. On air, online, and on your mobile device, turn to Hoosier Ag Today.
USDA Report Day and markets rebound. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Farm Market Review. That rebound maybe not necessarily due to the report. A short covering rally, though, did follow after the release. We'll have the numbers coming up. Market analysis to begin with, though, from Brian Basting, Advanced Trading. Brian, we have some short covering as a result of the USDA March WASDE supply and demand update. And the markets, corn and beans, were lower before the report, came off of the lows after the release, and then quite a bounce in soybean futures. So explain how that happened as we also get into a little bit of what happened with that report.
There really wasn't that much fresh news, as it were, Andy, from the report itself. For example, the USDA left the carryout estimate for this 23-24 crop year for corn unchanged, and they left the bean carryout for this year unchanged. So there really wasn't any startling news there. There were some tidbits on the world scene I'd share with your listeners. The USDA did increase its forecast of Ukraine corn exports for this crop year. We're in now by 1.5 million tons. There's some scuttlebutt out there now that China is importing some Ukraine corn. We'll just have to see how that plays out. But regardless, the corn export market there between Ukraine up 1.5, and actually the USDA did increase Argentina's crop today by 1 million tons. And they increased their export forecast for Argentina by 1 million tons. So you add those two together between Ukraine and Ukraine and Argentina, it's 2.5 million tons. Now they did lower the South African exports by 500,000 tons. Bottom line, export competition is a little stronger than what we thought, with more competition from Ukraine and from Argentina coming up these next 6 months of the crop year. So that'll be something to keep an eye on. On the bean side, USDA, the biggest news was that they increased the imports by China compared to last year. They're now up to a record 105 million tons. That's up 3 million tons from last month. And they increased last year's imports by China by 3.7 million tons. So bottom line is that China, according to the USDA, probably a combination, Andy, of continuing to use those beans, but also there is some stock rebuilding being seen. The soybean stocks are forecast to increase over 5 million tons this year. So China's rebuilding stock levels. I'd add one more thing on the world scene, Andy, for beans. Brazil's production was only lowered by 1 million tons this month by the USDA from 156 to 155, and actually increased their exports by 3 million tons, presumably to help meet those needs of China. So USDA is not negative on Brazil so far as the trade is. But back to the market trade here with not a lot of startling news in the report. I think we're seeing some short covering to wrap up a week here. We're getting into a key growing season here, weather market season, if you will, for corn now from Brazil. These next 60 days between now and the middle of May is a Safrinha crop. It's almost done planted. Picture early June in the Midwest, whether you're in Indiana or whether you're in Iowa. Early June to early August is about where we are the next 60 days. And so there's the weather market. It's a little bit dry in Brazil, so maybe a little bit of short covering there. For the beans, I think it's just been such a free fall for so long, Andy, that we're seeing some short covering here ahead of a weekend.
So you mentioned nothing major in the report. That may lead to an assumption that the trade will shake this one off rapidly and just move on.
I think so. I think that we're now looking at a couple things for the remainder of March here. We're looking at, number one, what the weather is going to be in Brazil for that corn. And number two, the USDA is surveying producers now these first 2 weeks of March for the March 28th prospective plantings report. That'll be a big report. Grain stocks report also comes out on that day. So two major reports that March 28th. But we'll be watching export sales for the next 3 weeks very closely. China did cancel some soft red winter wheat export sales from the U.S., two different announcements here, about 240,000 metric tons the last 2 days. We'll see if that persists into next week or not. It's something to watch for the wheat market. China, has about 1 million tons of wheat that they bought from the U.S., soft red winter, still on the books. So the question is, will they lift those wheat sales or they continue to cancel some of them? But other than that, it's kind of in between time, but one major weather market to watch now, Brazil, for the corn. But other than that, I think that the trading ahead of these big reports at the end of the month will dominate things the next couple weeks.
Brian Basting, Advanced Trading, the number there, 309-664-2314. Settlements now from Friday trade. Maycorn up a penny and three quarters, 439 and three quarters. And July corn goes to 451 and three quarters, a gain of two and a quarter. Over in beans, very strong. May, 1184, up 17 and three quarters. July, 19 and a half higher, 1195 and a half. And May wheat, 537 and three quarters, up nine and a quarter. The meats ended mixed, 187.60 on April live cattle, losing $1.12. April lean hogs down 15, 84.37. Deferred contracts up just a bit. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Friday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.